tonight, we are starting off with a park ranger story, where he was in the state of Louisiana on a call about these shot noises somewhere where hunting or gunshots in general were not even allowed. And what he gets there and what he witnesses is horrifying. Then, somewhere in the beautiful state of Tennessee, we have these hunters who were out searching for coons. But what they come across in the deep woods is far from what they were looking for. Then lastly, we have a horrifying goat man type story, where this kid is left home alone while his parents go to a family reunion that he does not attend for particular reasons. But he was not truly left alone. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now let's get spooky. I have a story that I would like to share with you. This is something that happened to me when I was a park ranger in the state of Louisiana. I worked at the northern part, but I won't specify exactly where I worked, what park. Let's just keep things simple for privacy reasons. While I was on my shift, I had gotten called out to this one particular area as gunshots had been reported in. To my assumption, campers were the ones that had called it into our office, and I was sent out to investigate to see what the hell was going on. A many of things could have been happening. Illegal hunting, people shooting fireworks, or simply things that may sound like gunshots but really aren't. And then there's the occasional prank call, yet that rarely ever happens. So I was in my vehicle, windows down as I gazed outside of my surrounding midday on a weekend. When I arrived to the area where the calls had been reported about, I caught movement on the left side of the vehicle. Up ahead at about my 10 o'clock, I see these two individuals running towards the direction of the road I was currently on, full speed in my direction. As I drove closer on the road, stopping right when they were directly across from me from my side window, I noticed that it was two hunters, dressed in head-to-toe in complete camouflage, with rifles in hand. But they were not hunting. They were running directly in the direction of my vehicle. At first, I was taken back, as I thought maybe they were coming after me. I know that's a silly thought, but honestly, they were running right at me with their rifles in hand. That was just my initial reaction. But quickly noticing the expressions on both of their faces told me otherwise. They were shouting, screaming at me with their hand up and their rifles outwards, waving and screaming at me to wait. Something had totally alarmed the hell out of these two. They were not supposed to be hunting here, for one. So maybe it was a little karma coming back to bite them on the ass. When they arrived at my vehicle, they jumped into the bed of my truck without a word, without warning, and they both started slapping the back of the window of my truck, telling me to drive and to get out of there now. It was all very surprising and definitely alarming. But I did as instructed, because obviously there was something chasing them. I put it into drive and put my foot on the pedal all the way down to the floor, hightailing it out of there as quickly as the truck was capable of. I drove them back to the park ranger station, where they took their statements and also asked me a few questions of their own. They had told them that they had seen some kind of beast, some dog-like creature that was running after them on its back legs. This creature that they characterized as looking like a real-life werewolf, but it was no human. They both had gotten fined for the fact that they were not supposed to be there hunting in the first place. They weren't kept because they didn't technically catch anything. They didn't shoot any animals. So they were just let go and told never to return to hunt there again. They had questioned me as well. So much had happened in so little time. I didn't want anyone to look at me any crazier than they already did for the two people that were just in the ranger station. Everybody thought they were loco. They thought they were complete lunatics, maybe even high on drugs, for the story that they had told them. I told them all I noticed was they were running frantically towards my vehicle, screaming, scared for their life, and begging me to drive away as soon as they hopped inside. I did so, thinking that their lives were in danger, but not actually seeing anything myself. Of course, that was only partially true. I didn't tell them that I saw what was actually chasing these two people. That beast of a creature, that dogman werewolf creature that was running in the woods on all fours, and then stopped as it noticed my vehicle once they had hopped inside. And then it leaned back and was now standing erect on its back two legs, staring, eyeing me down with a glare that touched my soul. I put my pedal to the metal once that had happened, never looking again, not even in my rearview mirror as I took off down the road. I didn't tell my superiors and colleagues what I actually saw, because I didn't think they'd believe me. And that's the last thing that I needed. I didn't want any rumors being spread about me. Hey, the Dogman Ranger's here. Watch out. He might bite you. I didn't want that kind of judgment, whether it was humorous or not. I am very professional. I love my job. And I do everything by the book to the best of my ability. But deep down inside, I cannot for one deny what I saw that day being a hallucination or an illusion, or being some person dressed up scaring off the hunters that weren't supposed to be there in the first place. No, what I saw was real. And what I saw, luckily, was a warning. The story I'm about to tell is not one I personally experienced, but one told to me by my father, who experienced it firsthand many years ago. He went on a coon hunting trip one autumn night with his uncle and a family friend of theirs. For those who don't know what coon hunting is, it's hunting raccoons, usually at night, using a scent hound bred for that type of thing. It was common in the southern states, and that's where this took place. In a remote rural area in the southeastern U.S. in the late 1970s, early 1980s. It should be noted that a good trained coonhound never leaves a raccoon it tracks and corners up a tree. My uncle had two fully trained, reliable coonhounds with an excellent hunting record. On this particular night, the three men each had a light source. One had a carbide lamp. Another had a brand new flashlight with brand new batteries, and another had a lantern. The location they chose to hunt was an area my uncle had been many times. It was truly a remote area, far removed from civilization, and was one of the most beautiful wilderness areas one had ever seen. It was located near a national park. That night, they drove a little farther than they usually did, and let the dogs out. It didn't take long for the dogs to track down a coon. The men followed the dogs, and had to walk quite a bit off the regular path this time. They ended up well outside the usual area. It was an area my uncle was not familiar with. They found the dogs at the very large trees situated on a cliff. There were no other trees around it, and they could hear the sound of water flowing in a creek beneath the cliff. The strange thing about the tree was this stone that was sitting beneath it. My dad said the stone resembled a gravestone, the way it was positioned upright, just below the tree, and the way it looked. It looked almost as if it had been placed there. As soon as the hunting party reached the tree where the dogs were, the dogs suddenly went silent and walked away from the area in the direction to which the group had just come. My uncle noted that the dog's behavior was uncharacteristic of them because they had never just walked off like that when there was a coon in a tree. My dad thought it was odd as well. He said that he had never seen them act that way. It was as if something had spooked them. Baffled by the dog's behavior, they still decided to look to see if there was a coon there. My dad leaned against the stone and shone his light up into the tree. There was no coon to be found, which again was highly unusual. If there wasn't a coon, what were they chasing? As soon as my dad leaned against the tree and shone the light into it, their friend's carbide lamp suddenly went out. My dad said that as soon as their friend uttered the words, "My light went out," the other two lights simultaneously went out as well. Alone in the woods and completely in the dark, a feeling of uneasiness settled over the men. My uncle, who was a logical-minded man, calmly stated, "There's probably a reasonable explanation for what just happened. We need to all remain calm. Let's just step away from here and make our way back to the Jeep." So they headed back the way they came. About a half a mile to a mile on their way back, their lights all came back on, as if nothing had happened. They found the dogs a little further down the way, nearer to the Jeep. My dad never went back there to hunt again. What is interesting to note is this particular area is near a well-known area of the park where lots of people through the years drowned in the river there. It is purported to be a haunted spot. There have been ghost sightings and all kinds of strange occurrences in that area. It's possible they wandered into the park near that very spot where some unfortunate soul drowned. I'll never tell them, but I think it's time to tell someone. Tell someone about this terrifying experience. For context, my family, save for me, was going to go to a family reunion tonight at a friend's house. I'm not surprised they let me stay home. I was probably the tidiest person in the house, second to only my dad, even if it was only on impulse. It was the middle of summer, and pollen was pretty much everywhere, so I wasn't in the mood to go outside and have a stuffy nose in the morning. Before they left, my mom told me to stay inside and lock the doors after dark, and only to go outside if there was something that needed doing, along with the comment about how it was outside. I didn't argue. I went back inside. After they were gone, the house was pretty much mine. I turned on the television and searched for something interesting to do. There was a channel with home design ideas, which wasn't what I was really interested in, but it was interesting to watch it anyways. I watched shows about remodeling bathrooms, bedrooms, and kitchens. I had nothing that interested me except the television. And while I got a new video game console for my birthday, we didn't get a chance to buy any actual games for it. I walked into the kitchen and started to look for something to eat. I was thinking about what I wanted for dinner, but there wasn't anything. Then again, I wasn't that hungry. The sun quickly set, and it was getting late, so I decided to close all the blinds. I always closed them as soon as the sun went down, mainly out of habit. I put a blanket and a few pillows onto the couch, and went to go turn off all of the lights except for the kitchen light. That way I wouldn't wake up completely confused about my whereabouts if I had woken up in the middle of the night. Funnily enough, that's exactly what happened. I fell off the couch and ended up bruising my side. I got up and got back on the couch. There was a loud tapping at the back door and I flinched. I looked at the clock and saw that it was only 9 and there was no way that they were back already. I went to use the bathroom, and I went to go back to the living room. I saw a silhouette of a man standing outside the glass doors. I hid behind the side of the couch, terrified. I could barely see him grabbing the doorknob. Just then, the most primordial fear hit me with full force. I had left the back door unlocked, and there was nothing I could do. The doorknob twisted, the door swerved open. I was finally able to see him. Black, beady eyes, a head covered in white, piss-stained fur topped with curved horns. The man had a head and legs of a ram. My mind barely processed what was going on as he walked a few steps further into the house.
"Come outside, James," the man said. "It's warm out here."
He spoke in my mother's voice. Not a perfect imitation. In fact, it sounded like one of those video games of a macaw speaking. It wasn't exact, but the intention was there. And the stench. It smelt overwhelmingly like copper. I felt tears began to emerge from my eyes, and I covered my mouth. He stood in that same place for what must have been more than an hour.
"There's something that needs doing. Come outside."
He never spoke a single word after that. He stared at me with his beady eyes, and I felt all of the air in the room vanish. He must have known I was there, but he simply left through the open door. Even after my family came back at around midnight, I didn't feel safe. I decided not to tell any of them. There was a time and place for that, and I didn't want them to worry. That was years ago, and I still don't feel safe. When I go to sleep, I swear I could feel him watching me. He's always there in the back of my mind. It took months for me to feel secure in my own home after that experience. I didn't understand why I constantly felt the need to curl up into a ball under a heavy blanket. But then I realized what it was. Coming from the woods outside of my window was that damn smell.